This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
My name is Tim O'Brien. I'm the Assistant Director of Exhibitions at SFO Museum, San Francisco International Airport.
SFO Aviation Museum has to be one of the best-kept secrets of SFO. It is so awesome, so cool, and yet you have to know about it because it's not front row center.
Yes, we certainly don't intend it to be a well-kept secret, but it is tucked away in one of the quieter corners of the airport, if there is such a thing. We're here in the International Terminal Main Hall prior to security checkpoints, so it is open to the public regardless of whether or not you have a boarding pass.
So you don't have to go through TSA to...
You do not. No, you do not at all. And it's a real treasure, as you know from your visits.
So many layers to this Aviation History Museum. Talk to us for a moment of where we are right now.
Right now we're sitting in the lobby of the Aviation Museum and Library here that's been is an architectural adaptation of the 1937 passenger lobby, Mills Field, and Mills Field being the airport here for San Francisco and the region prior to its renaming as SFO.
It was about 20 years ago this opened?
Yes, this space opened along with the new international terminal in 2000.
Talk to us about experiencing the museum and what somebody would see here, what the highlights are.
Well, I think the first impression one would get is you're not in the main body of the terminal anymore. You're not in the departures lobby. It's a little quieter. There's a little more natural materials, some wood, marble. The light is a little more ambient. And it's just a very relaxed environment in which to take in the history.
Talk to us about the displays that you have here.
Well, we have four galleries here, and actually the entire facility could be considered one large gallery with historic planes suspended and artifacts on the wall that don't fit within the vitrines or the gallery cases. But we do have four primary galleries here, and these galleries rotate to different exhibitions every 6 to 9 months. And so every time you visit, you'll see something different here. Most of the exhibitions are built upon the collection that we hold here of more than 140,000 objects.
In my times coming here, one of the consistent rotations has to do with flight attendants' outfits over decades.
Yes, absolutely. The flight attendant uniform and the fashion of the flight attendant uniform is a very popular subject and certainly one of the primary collection categories here at the museum. And there's a lot of different material to mine within that area. So we have had a few exhibitions on different evolutions, fashion designers, different airlines, their approaches, and what that means.
My personal bias in aviation has everything to do with Pan American Airways and going way back in time, the era of the China Clipper. And a lot of people don't know that there was a terminal here for the China Clipper. And the berthing dock still exists, correct?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, Clipper Cove is still there. China Clipper is near and dear to our hearts. Pan Am history at large is very special to us here in San Francisco and certainly with us here at the museum.
Another dimension of SFO Aviation Museum has to do with your outreach across the airport itself. As you know, I fly in and out through Terminal 3 on United all the time. I always pray for extra time so I can look at your displays.
We love hearing that, and we do receive that compliment quite often by folks who come out early. And some folks have been so distracted by some of the exhibitions that they've nearly missed their flights. So that's the highest praise for us.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate.
Tell us about some of the cool things that you showcased there.
When folks think of SFO Museum or the program out here in general, I think their perception is based upon their experience. They could be thinking of the public art on permanent exhibition that belongs to the San Francisco Arts Commission, which we administer here. They could be thinking of the Aviation Museum and Library, in which we're sitting here, which rotates exhibitions specifically on the subject of commercial aviation history and has an extensive collection and is a research facility. But many people, like you're mentioning out at Terminal 3, may know us solely by our rotating exhibitions on a wide variety of subjects, from the history of the jukebox to ancient Chinese jades to Roman marbles.
You had games and toys from the 1950s not too long ago.
Right. We produced an exhibition on 1950s design, which featured games and toys. And then we also had an exhibition about Terminal 3 a couple years back that was focused on games of chance, which were the slot machines and the gaming machines running all the way from the late 19th century through the 50s. So a wide variety of subjects. We've got a pretty broad mandate here. We celebrate creativity as it exists in all forms.
Give us an overview of a couple other thematic shows you put on.
Oh, goodness. Some of the exhibitions that I'm most proud of are exhibitions that allow us to see the intersection of art and science, popular culture. So we're really fortunate here. I mean, as you've observed, we cover a broad range of subjects. Here in the Aviation Museum and Library, it's all about commercial aviation history. But out in the terminals, certainly Terminal 3, where you're flying today, and elsewhere, our mandate is pretty broad. We cover the world. If it's been created, it's art. And so whether it's the history of the jukebox or...
You're talking about the surf
boards. Yeah, surfboards. That was an interesting exhibition because it allowed us to focus on the surfboard almost as an object of art. This was a special project by which one man gathered the greatest surfboard shapers in the world and also collected rare hardwoods and had historic boards crafted by these shapers. They're absolutely gorgeous. They look like sculpture in and of themselves. They are sculpture, really. And yet they also tell us the evolution of the surfboard and the different innovations that happened over the decades.
And these were archival historic boards that you said were shipped over from Bishop Museum?
Well, actually, it was a two-part exhibition. So we did have historic boards in one of our smaller vitrine of the gallery that was told our origin story, which, of course, is Hawaii. And there's certainly a connection to the Bay Area with the surfboard being brought over to Santa Cruz quite early. So we did have some of the traditional forms, the royal forms of surfboard that only the royals could ride. And then we took that as a launching point to talk about the evolution of the surfboard through the 20th century.
These exhibitions are in long hallways going from the main terminal to your boarding gate.
Yeah, we have 25 sites throughout the terminals, so our visitors, our patrons, will know us by who they fly. And so when they'll compliment a particular series of exhibitions, we'll know whether they fly Terminal 1 or Terminal 2.
I'm almost 100% Terminal 3. I haven't been in Terminal 1 or 2 in 10 years.
We've got to get you out there. They're spectacular. Terminal 2 was remodeled in 2011 and absolutely gorgeous. We've got a world-class gallery there that you can't miss. And a pretty exciting exhibition right now on the history of the surf guitar scene, the instrumental rock scene.
I need to interject for a moment because as big as SFO is, it's very unlike O'Hare or DFW in that you can walk from one end of the airport to the other easily. When I go in and out of Terminal 3 and I have a decent layover, this is where I go. I come to the international terminal and walk around and look at the stuff I've seen before.
Well, that's great. That's great to hear. And I agree. I've certainly been in other airports, and I find San Francisco Airport very easy to navigate. And that's partially because we're constrained by wetlands, protected wetlands in the interior and the bay on the other side. And so I think the architects have done a wonderful job of keeping up with the increasing numbers of passengers. With smart design, have crafted an airport where you can walk the entirety of the airport almost in a horseshoe pattern back to International Terminal and take in quite a bit of public art. We've got more than 100 pieces of public art installations, sculpture, paintings on exhibit, and 25 galleries showing rotating exhibitions from the museum. So there's a lot to take in just from the arts and culture side. In Terminal 1, we've also got the large-scale exhibition of historic material relating to the life and legacy of Supervisor Harvey Milk, for which the terminal's named, and that exhibition is ongoing.
Listening to you, in addition to a primary historic mission of aviation history, you have a mission to showcase and share art, culture, everything.
Yes.
Society's journey.
Yes. This program, when it was launched in 1980, was a very revolutionary idea to celebrate material culture alongside fine arts and just about anything that's been created. It really has a wonderful backstory. It comes from the human mind. Again, whether that's the design of a radio or whether it's an ancient Roman marble.
You had the old radio displays.
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah, that was a fun exhibition for us. It allowed us to look at design and really art and also popular culture and how radio impacted popular culture.
Yeah, radio is furniture.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. And a lifeline for a lot of people. They're a window to the world. Yeah. All of us here at SFL Museum feel very fortunate to be able to program these galleries with what inspires us, with what we're curious about. And it's a responsibility we take very seriously. We know that we have the privilege of serving a relatively captive audience. So we get to reach people who might not necessarily volunteer to go to a museum or a gallery, but they're here and they're traveling, and we'd like to share with them something that might inspire them to learn more, to explore more.
Do you ever witness somebody going through that epiphanous moment because they stepped in?
Well, as a curator who has worked on some of these exhibitions, I imagine they all do. I have certainly seen folks taking in the labels, and when curating an exhibition, that's the highest praise, that they're actually reading what you've written. Our method is to capture people visually, certainly. So it is all about the objects. Most people are very curious about the world, and we hope to satisfy that curiosity and offer some escape for those who may be traveling and just have a moment to maybe come out of their world for a moment and pause and take in something worth celebrating.
What's happening now, and what's on the future plan?
Well, we're very excited. We've got great exhibitions in development for this space here. We've got a really exciting exhibition called Going the Distance that celebrates the achievements of Kingsford Smith and Catherine Stenson, two very early aviation pioneers. He was really our pioneer across the Pacific, and really tremendous achievements in navigation around the world. And we're excited to feature Kingsford Smith and Catherine Stenson, but Smith in particular because he's tied into a celebration of 100 years of aviation in Australia. And that's another as an exhibition celebrating the centenary of aviation in Australia that will be inside the gallery here.
Qantas, 100th anniversary.
Right, Qantas. We've got a lot of Qantas material in our collection that we'll be exhibiting and sharing.
Qantas has never had a fatal crash.
I'll be darned. I did not know that. We should celebrate that.
That's incredible.
So I guess what I would like your listeners to know is our galleries are open throughout the terminals. So please, when you're flying SFO, take a moment, take in an exhibition, take in some of the public art, some of the more than 100 pieces of public art that are on display. And just enjoy your time here and enjoy the cultural offerings. Enjoy a pause in your travels to celebrate creativity.
If somebody wanted to learn more about the world of aviation museum and art and culture shows at SFO, where would you direct them?
Google SFO Museum. We are online with all of our exhibitions represented on the website. Our planned exhibitions are on there as well. You can research our collection online of more than 140,000 objects. So please visit SFO Museum, and you can even sign up for exhibition announcements. We'll reach you with an email just letting you know when new exhibitions are launching out here. We do have a map on there to let you know whether or not the exhibition you want to see is before or after security checkpoints. So many of these exhibitions are viewable without a boarding pass. And my name is Tim O'Brien. I serve as Assistant Director of Exhibitions here at SFO Museum, San Francisco International Airport.
Tim, thank you so much for sharing.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for visiting. Look forward to having you back again.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from San Francisco International Airport.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.